Chapter 6. Love Test. Will you forgive or let that old grudge kill you? This is a wake-up call for anyone who refuses to forgive wrongdoers. You may suffer serious, even fatal consequences if you fail to do the emotional work needed to pass life's toughest love tests like these. How do you forgive the unfaithful? Could you ever forgive yourself for a crime of passion or for a loss of passion that may have killed your relationship? Why should you forgive dishonesty, abuse, infidelity, or the theft of your trust, love, hopes, and dreams? You forgive because unforgiveness is the poison that destroys your own health, happiness, and relationships. What if you refuse to forgive someone's offenses? They don't suffer, you do. You hand yourself over to other torturers, namely experiences of fear, depression, frustration, anxiety, bitterness, self-hatred, disease, and loneliness. Learning how to forgive had saved my life during my divorce. As I'd admitted earlier, I'd been filled with unforgiveness, anger, and blame that had made my heart feel ready to explode. How did I change that? I learned how to forgive my former husband and myself for ways we'd hurt each other during the breakup of our marriage. I'll show you my radical forgiveness technique in the next chapter, but first, I'll give you medical incentive to get good at forgiveness. If you don't forgive, that old grudge can kill you. How? Having hostility pumping through your veins releases stress hormones. It can shut down your immune system, leave you vulnerable to disease, and make you unable to eat or sleep, or overindulge in both. If harboring resentment continues for long periods of time, you can wire your brain to form an unforgiving, hostile worldview. This can destroy your body and your relationships because no one wants to be around unforgiving, angry people. What's the common reason people refuse to forgive? People think forgiveness condones hurtful behavior. This is not true. Forgiveness is a process of coping with an offense so you don't allow it to harm you. Unforgiveness often causes more harm than the original offense that hurt you, in ways I've just explained. What's your healthier choice? You break the bond of unforgiveness before it breaks you. How? You forgive even the most egregious offenses using this step-by-step guide, which I've summarized from my radio interview for A Lasting Love with Dr. Juliet Rohde Brown. Dr. Juliet is a psychologist, a world-renowned teacher of forgiveness, and author of Imagine Forgiveness, How to Create a Joyful Future. Hadley, let's clear up any confusion about what it means to forgive. How do you define forgiveness? Dr. Juliet, forgiveness is a process that is clearly defined by researchers Enright and Fitzgibbons, who have run clinical studies on how people forgive. In quotes, people upon rationally determining that they've been unfairly treated forgive when they willfully abandon resentment and related responses to which they have a right and endeavor to respond to the wrongdoer based on the moral principle of beneficence, which may include compassion, unconditional worth, generosity, and moral love to which the wrongdoer, by nature of the hurtful act or acts, has no right. End quotes. Hadley, I've got a question about beneficence, which refers to an act that benefits others. Doesn't forgiveness benefit the one who forgives even more than their wrongdoer? Dr. Juliet, it depends on the model of forgiveness, whether it's for learning or reconciliation. You can forgive someone without informing them so that you reap the health benefits. If you actually reconcile with your wrongdoer, then each of you benefit. Hadley, When someone has a serious offense to forgive, what steps do they take to go through the forgiveness process? Dr. Juliet, I suggest you take these steps to forgiveness. Start with an uncovering what it is that you want to forgive. Make a decision to forgive. This sounds like, I decide to forgive so-and-so for such-and-such. You fill in the person's name and offense. Use your own name if you want to forgive yourself. Begin the work phase. Do some practices like mindfulness, loving-kindness, journaling, and possibly working with a therapist to help you forgive the worst offenses. You lead with your core values, which helps you rise above any offense and be more mature by doing so. Notice how the process deepens your sense of self and changes your perspective on the world. When you make a difference in yourself, you make a difference in the world. It's not an easy process, but it works. Hadley, do you follow the same process if you want to forgive yourself for something you've done or failed to do? Dr. Juliet, when we forgive ourselves, we must add another step to this forgiveness process. We need to achieve reconciliation with ourselves. We do this by coming back to a place of loving ourselves, of treating ourselves like a responsible parent treats a helpless child who depends on them. We protect, embrace, feed, and nurture our innocent child inside our core. We keep them warm and safe from things that can go wrong. When we reconcile with ourselves, we reconcile with that innocent part, with the child who has a sense of wonder in the world. Hadley, will you suggest an exercise to help us reconcile and reconnect with our innocence? Dr. Juliet, one way to do it is to work with mindfulness practices. First, you get into an awareness stance, being aware of your breathing and thoughts passing. Then, do the loving kindness meditation by taking these five steps. 1. You envision yourself as a young child with big, innocent eyes looking out at you. While breathing deeply from your belly, you see your own face in front of you, and you offer love to your younger self. 2. Next, you move your imagined image to someone whom it's very easy to love and feel their love in return. This person can be living, deceased, an imaginary person, even an animal. You see their face in front of you, and you open your heart to give love back and forth. 3. Then you move into images of loving family or friends. When you get used to making a heart connection with them, then you are ready for the next step. 4. Look at an image of someone who is causing you to struggle. Then extend loving kindness to them. 5. Go back to imagining someone who is easy to love. Then repeat the process again. Hadley, what are some proven benefits of the loving kindness exercise? Dr. Juliet, as you do this exercise, you feel loving kindness in its purity. This creates a shift in your body away from the tense clenching of unforgiveness into the calm peace of forgiveness. When you do this exercise on a regular basis, it also helps you make a heart connection with people you see in your daily life. This deepens and enriches your relationships. Hadley, Einstein had said that imagination is more important than knowledge. Through imagination, you use all of your senses to learn and to change your life and the lives of everyone around you. So how do we use our imagination as a bridge into forgiveness? Dr. Juliet, do this exercise to get into your body and duplicate the stressful sensations of unforgiveness, then instantly replace them with calm feelings of forgiveness. Tighten and clench every part of your body, which shows you what you're doing to yourself when you don't forgive. After you tighten up, then you let it go. Take a deep breath to release tension. And then start breathing through your belly to ground yourself in calm feelings. Now, Turn your thoughts to the most joyful moment in your life. See it. Remember the smells, tastes, sounds, or physical touch. Use your senses to re-experience the delight you'd felt in that joyful moment. Experience joy in other ways, like going out in nature for walks. Take a rock and throw it into the stream as you say to yourself, "I let this go." It is that easy for some people to let go of something they want to forgive. It's more difficult for most of us and may require daily practice of taking each step in the forgiveness process that we've explained. Hadley, tell us how forgiveness affects other people in your life. Dr. Juliet, researchers have measured the effects of forgiveness in the person doing the forgiving and in the people around them. Forgiveness not only lifts your spirits and helps you radiate joy, it also has the same effect in other people who spend time with you. We have scientific proof that our emotional and spiritual energy is contagious. You have the power to experience and scatter joy when you practice forgiveness. Hadley, so it's important to know that forgiveness is not about condoning hurtful behavior. It's not about going back into an abusive relationship. It is about expecting integrity and honorable behavior from people. It's about calling them on wrongdoing and using the forgiveness process to protect your own health and happiness and improve the quality of your life and relationships. Earlier, I'd promised to tell you about the radical forgiveness technique that had helped me stop being the victim and start being the creator of a great new life. You do this by making shifts in your thinking, which you discover next.